are kind of making their way in. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to lead us this morning. Father God, I thank you for your presence. Your presence that is with us now and for all eternity. And God, we ask that you would just move this morning. That your glory would fill your church, Lord. That we would experience your goodness. And Jesus, we ask that you would lead us this morning. Lead the worship. Lead the testimonies. Lead in the message, Lord. May your name be lifted high. May we see your beauty. And Father, we ask for all those that have come. I know that everyone comes into this house today with different needs. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each need this morning. That you would comfort those who need to be comforted. You would bring peace to those who need to experience your peace. That you would just wrap your arms around us this morning. Draw us nearer to your heart. Help us to look to you. To look above the distractions, to look above the circumstance, and focus our eyes on the King of Kings. We worship you this morning, Lord Jesus. We commit this service to you. We pray in your holy and mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. We're going to sing the song, Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less. Thank you for you. I thank you for the love that you have for us. Father, I pray this morning that we would know that we are alive in you, that we would know that you have breathed into us your life, your breath, your life-giving, sustaining breath. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we even love because you first loved us. Father, I thank you that the invitation is open to everyone. You've said, come all who are thirsty and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and be filled. I thank you, God, that there's no one like you. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe when we live for you. Above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. This morning, that he would open your eyes in wonder, that he would show us who he is, that he would fill our hearts, and that he would lead us in his love, that he would show us around us who needs, what the need is even. Is that your prayer this morning? Then I would just ask you in this song to ask him. And he is faithful. When we ask, he will answer.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead.
Blessed to have the opportunity to have a little extra time to kind of study the Word, and I'm excited about what God has stirred in my heart and what he has for Harmony this morning. So let's just pray into the Word this morning. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your presence, your abiding presence. I thank you for your word, the scriptures that you have given us to guide us, to reveal who you are. And Jesus, I pray that your beauty would be magnified this morning through the word, that your heart for the church would just sink into our hearts, that we would catch the same vision that you have for your church. Lead us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've kind of been working through a series a Means of Grace series, and I've kind of fallen upon the gift of spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts, it's a massive subject. And can I really cover all that I need to cover in one sermon? Absolutely not. There's approximately 20 different gifts outlined in various texts, and we'll look at that a little bit later. You know, so if I wanted to talk on each different gift, I'd have about 2 minutes each, so it doesn't really work. So I was just praying and asking the Lord to direct me, and really, even over the last few weeks, as I've thought about this subject, I believe the Holy Spirit has been impressing in my heart a significant aspect of spiritual gifts that I think we often miss. And I want to talk about this morning about the purpose of spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts. And the reason for that is because I grew up in a home that believed in the spiritual gifts. I was homeschooled and I was in devotions every morning, and my parents, they prayed in tongues. It was a common occurrence in our home. And as a child, I didn't quite understand it, but it was just something that I was used to. And as I grew up in and around maybe some more Pentecostal charismatic circles, I experienced, you know, some of the more kind of miraculous gifts, if you could use that terminology. Things like prophecy and words of knowledge and healing and things like that. I've seen a lot of those things. And even as I've read the scriptures as a young person, particularly 1 Corinthians 14, which says that we're to pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Well, maybe that's just... So in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So there's this command that's in Scripture for us to earnestly desire them. And for me, I desired them and I pursued them. But what ended up happening is in my pursuit of them and my desire, which I think was genuine and inspired by Scripture, I lost sight of their purpose. And what happened was I began to measure my spirituality based on my spiritual gifting. And this is a definite no-no. But honestly, many of us, maybe more in the charismatic circles, in the Pentecostal circles, I believe have fallen prey to this line of thinking, that we begin to measure our own spiritual health based on how we're walking in the spiritual gifts. So I thought, you know, if I was praying in tongues and I was, you know, prophesying and doing these types of things, well, then that, I was spiritual. I felt like I was on track. But if I wasn't praying in tongues so much and I hadn't really heard any prophetic words, well, then I was off track spiritually and I needed to get on track. So that way that I thought about myself, I began to apply that same measure to other people. So if I saw individuals that were prophesying and, you know, they prayed in tongues with interpretation and there was just lots of stuff happening, they must be, you know, spiritually mature. They must be connected to God. And then the same applied to those that didn't, for those that had never prayed in tongues before, who never heard of prophecy or never prophesied, who never laid their hands on the sick and saw people healed, well, then they just were on a lower spiritual plane. That's the way I thought. I was full of pride. And I was just way off track. And it was through the scriptures that God convicted me and showed me. And I think in the slide, I've kind of got the first slide. Basically, spiritual gifts do not equal maturity. Straight up. And 1 Corinthians shows us this quite clearly. 1 Corinthians 1:7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And then just three chapters later, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Spiritual gifting does not equal maturity. And then the next slide, even further. Spiritual gifts do not equal connection with God. How do we know this? Matthew 7:22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That was like a lightning strike. Because what do we do often in charismatic circles? Those that are operating in the giftings, we just seem to think that they're hearing from God and they're close to God and they've got it together. But honestly, the opposite may be true. The opposite may be true. And honestly, what I see happening in the church, and maybe even more online, is there are these online prophets and people with ministries that boast in signs and wonders and gifts, speaking in tongues and prophecy. You know, they promise you prophetic words, and you know, people are drawn to those things. And I'd say that many of them are in the flesh and they're immature, they're infants. And I would even argue that many of them do not even know God. Beware of people boasting and claiming to be a prophet and boasting in signs and wonders. And beware of these people. Many will stand before the Lord one day and he'll say to them, I don't know who you are. And in Romans 12, verses 6, Paul... Let me backtrack a little bit. In Romans 14 and in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, while speaking about spiritual gifts, he warns people of pride. He warns the church of pride. If you read Romans 14, 4 and 6, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 20, we don't have time to really look through them specifically. But you'll find that addressing spiritual gifts, he's talking and he's warning people about pride. And really, spiritual gifting, it's about humility. It's about serving others. See, I've preached often, and it's one of my core beliefs, is that the way of Jesus is the way of humility. It's the way of serving others. And spiritual gifts align with that same truth. Romans 12, verses 6 says, having gifts that differ, listen to this, according to the grace given to us. Spiritual gifts are a grace that God gives to us. We don't earn them. You can't pray your way into a spiritual gift. And yes, Paul says that we're to earnestly desire the gifts, that we are to pray for the gifts, but God is the one who chooses what we are to have. You don't decide. I'm sure lots of people would like the gift of healing and to have, you know, laying their hands on people and every single time every person is healed. But that's not the case, is it? And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 29 to 30. While speaking about the spiritual gifts, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer that Paul is speaking about in relation to these questions are no. And if you actually read in the Greek, the Greek is actually abundantly, it's way more clear that it's definite, the answer is no. Now, can God at any time
stir up a gift in you? Any gift? Of course he can. Of course he can. God is God. He can do anything. So God can stir up in you at any time, any particular gifting. But what Paul is saying here, and the scriptures do teach us, is that there are certain individuals that God has gifted with certain things for a particular purpose. Some people have a strong gift of teaching. Others do not. Does it mean that others can't teach? No. But it does mean that God has gifted certain individuals with giftings for a particular purpose, for a reason. And I know people that have prayed for certain gifts and they've never got them. And why? Because, well, I don't know. God knows. God knows in His sovereignty. And He knows that maybe, just maybe, one particular gift that you're praying for will lead to pride in your life. And so He holds it back because He knows, Dan, you can't have that gift. It will ruin you. So I say, thank God that sometimes I don't get the things that I pray for because I know that God knows best. And I trust Him. But let's talk about the purpose. You know, I gave a warning here, and I think it's an important warning, an important principle, that we're not to measure spiritual maturity in terms of spiritual gifting. Don't do it. But what is the point of gifts? What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Why does God give gifts to the church? 1 Corinthians 14:12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Ephesians 4:12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. And speaking, this is in relation to giftings that God gives to the church. It's for building up the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are to build up the body of Christ. So what does it mean to build up the body of Christ? What does that look like? What does Paul mean when he says that we're to build up the body of Christ, that we're to use our gifts to build up the body? What's that look like? Ephesians 4:12-16. Their responsibility, speaking about those that have gifts, our responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now listen. So from Ephesians 4, and I've kind of drawn out what I believe to be a couple of things that we see as a result of what it means to build up the body of Christ. Why gifts are given to the church. That they produce a strong desire for unity with other believers. A willingness to be taught and learn. A strong knowledge of the Scriptures. A willingness to lovingly share truth openly, and a heart that longs to serve others. And I'm just going to read for you the text, Ephesians 4:12-16. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord. So now we're talking about maturity. We want to know what a mature believer is. It's unity in the faith. It's knowledge of God's Son. It's measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. And He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So I've kind of got a list here drawn from this text, kind of summarizing. You know, and I think the previous one shows just really to me what I believe the purpose of spiritual gifts are: to build up the body of Christ so that we will grow in love and become mature in Christ, experiencing His fullness. So if you want to know why the gifts are given to the body, it's so that we would experience the fullness of Christ. And if you think of just the simple gift, God gifts us by His grace different things, different qualities. And we have this gift, and we're to hand this gift over to others. We're to share it. Spiritual gifts are not for ourselves. They're for others. They're meant to be shared. They're meant to be gifted to other people. In the same way that God gifts us, we're to share them. And I think about, imagine if a church had this kind of, this mentality, this perspective just running through our veins, that when we come to gather together, we're looking to serve. We're looking to say, God, I know that You've blessed me with different, you know, abilities and giftings, and how can I share them with the body? How can I use them to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ? How can I help them to come into the fullness that God has for them? And if you look at the metaphor that Paul uses for the church in both Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, it reveals to us a need for one another. Because the body, well, let me just read for you 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, there would be where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would there be a sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of its body, each of them, as He chose. Again, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And here's a truth that we need to understand, that the spiritual gifts are given to be shared. They're given to us by God so that we could build up one another in Christ. And we need one another. Too many Christians are flying solo. They're going at it, and they don't think that they need the body. That I've got everything I need. I got my Bible here. I love Jesus. Why bother go to church? I can sit at home and turn on some, you know, online worship, soak to that. I can read my Bible and then, you know, go on YouTube and listen to a way better preacher than Dan. Why bother go to church? Well, for one, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, more in depth, but the reality is that we are a body and that we need one another. You can't do this on your own. You can't do all that God desires in this world for His kingdom on your own. He doesn't want you to be on your own. He didn't intend for you to be on your own. Christianity is not a solo act. It's a community. We were created in the image of a triune God, who existed as Father, Son, and Spirit for all time. God existed in community with Himself, and He created us in His image. And if we resist community, if we say that we don't need the body, then we are working against our identity. We will suffer spiritually, greatly. Too often I've seen solo Christianity, and eventually what happens is they shrivel up and they die. Because when you're linking arms with people, when you have a group of people all around you, and their purpose is when they come in to gathering, whether it's at home, whether it's in church, their focus and heart is, how can I pour into this person? How can I see them come into the fullness of Christ? And you got a whole people around you and for your good. When you fall down, somebody's there ready to pick you up and say, don't worry, let's keep going. We're in this together. We need one another. And what's beautiful about the gifts is there's, you know, I can never have all of the gifts in perfect operation at all times. I can't. I mean, I do have the Holy Spirit in me who contains all things and can use me to operate in any gifting at any time, but I'm telling you, I ain't Jesus. And I'm never going to fully, perfectly operate in this. But I'll tell you, when you gather into a community of saints, I look over this church and I see various giftings, unique abilities that God has put in each one of us. And maybe what I can't do individually, God can do corporately. We need one another. That's the whole illustration of the body. You know, I take out my eye and I put it on the ground. Doesn't have any use. It's useless. It dies. But a part of the body connected to the body, it has a purpose. It's working. It's operating. You know, and we haven't even really talked about the spiritual gifts. Now, I think I have a list up here of the spiritual gifts. I'll just read some of them off for you. Apostolic, prophecy, evangelism, teaching, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administration, tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, distinguishing between spirits, interpretation of tongues, pastor, teacher, serving, encouraging, contributing, leadership, mercy, marriage, and celibacy. That last one. Some people don't like that last one. Celibacy. Is that a gift? You know, see, some people who say, well, I can have anything. I can have all the gifts. The reality is, no, you can't. And God didn't intend it to be that way. And don't say that you can't be. Yes, God can stir up in you at any time a particular gift, but it's arrogance to think that you don't need the body. It's spiritual pride to think that you don't need one another to grow in Christ. To think that you can sit at your home by yourself and grow into the fullness that Christ has for you, it's spiritual arrogance. And it's not scriptural. The body, we need one another to be pouring into one another. And all these gifts, I believe all of these gifts are represented here, right now, in you. And when we come looking to minister to one another, we grow in Christ. We grow in Christ. Paul says, or Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The word various in Greek is poikos, and it has the idea of many facets or aspects having rich diversity. So I just want to say a quick word about that. In all of these giftings, and I've drawn this list from these texts, but all of these giftings, they will look different. Not all gifts look the same. Sometimes we want to put them in a little box and we say, well, prophecy is this, and it looks like this, and in tongues it's this, it looks like this, or administration, it looks... No. Many aspects, many facets, rich in diversity. And a simple example of this is somebody may have the gift of helps, and they've got really good cooking ability, so they love to cook meals for people who are in need. And God will have gifted them with this stirring in their heart to help people, and they function in that gifting in a way by cooking a meal for somebody. But somebody may have mechanical abilities and they help by helping fix somebody's taillight. Or say maybe somebody's got some expertise in finances and they can help people with their, you know, getting out of debt. There's different ways that these gifts can function, and they don't all look the same. There's rich diversity on this list. Let's not put them in a box. But the one thing that really God just, I believe as I was studying this and kind of combing over the scripture, that the Lord revealed to me something that I believe is just a desperately needed message for the church. And it's about the church growing cold. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that you have. And then in 1 Timothy 1:6, he says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Interesting that Paul uses that word rekindle. Any of us that have a fireplace or have had campfires, we know what rekindling means. It means that the fire is not hot anymore. It needs some kindling. It needs something to stir it up again, to ignite the flame. And friends, I believe that the church, in many ways, the North American church has grown cold because it's become an entertainment-driven church. A church where people come, they sit, they stand, they listen, and they leave. Come, sit, stand, listen, leave. Week after week. Come, sit, stand, listen, leave. We come to receive from others. And the gifts that God has put within us, they grow cold. And there are many people that are cold in the church, because they've come looking to take and not to give. And I know that in marriage, I've learned this quite well, and I'm sure that those that are married have experienced this, but if you go into marriage with a mentality of what can you give to my life? What can you bring to me? See, if two people have that mentality, marriage will fail every single time. And I remember in Bible school, there was a marriage family therapist that came in and gave a seminar. And I remember it so well. It was like probably 9 years ago, and I remember it to this day very clearly. And she said that in her practice, over and over and over again, the same thing happens. A couple will come into her office, and the wife says, I'm done. Usually around the 8 to 10 year mark, the wife says, I'm done. I'm tired, I'm spent, I've given and I've given, and I want out. And the husband is shocked. He's like, what? What do you mean? Like, I thought everything was great. And I believe that there's something innate within women to sacrifice and to give, to make the peace, to make things work. And the husband isn't always aware of this, so he just kind of goes with the flow, and he takes, and he takes, and he takes, to eventually a breaking point. No marriage will ever survive when one person is constantly taking and the other is constantly giving. And how often does the church function in that way? We come to receive, to receive, to receive. We come in asking questions, what can you offer me? You know, what can you offer to me? You know, what kind of programs do you have? How good is the preaching? Is it really good? Because, you know, I really like preaching. I want it to be like 30 minutes, not 40. 30 minutes. You know, how good's the worship? Is there drums? Is there this? Is there that? We come looking to receive. And if you think about it, how often do you see new people coming into the church and say, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I build up the body? Where can I be used of God? And I'll tell you, when people come in with that attitude, we're weirded out. We're like, who is this person? Like, they're weird. They want to just serve? Like, what's wrong with them? We need to change our mentality. We need to change our culture. Because the church is growing cold. And if we want to ignite the flame, ignite the fire, We need to give people, leadership needs to give people the opportunity to serve. And we need to be asking ourselves as a body, how can I help to be building up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Where can I be used of God? What can I do? Because I believe that all that I am, that if we changed our mentality in this regard, it will breathe life and fire into the church. You know, Penn Clark came and he shared a word and he talked about how spirituality is like breathing. It's breathing in and breathing out. If you just breathe in all the time, you're going to die. If you just breathe out all the time, you're going to die. It's a breathing in and a breathing out. It's about giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And too often we have placed the responsibility of ministry into the hands of the leaders, of the pastor, of Carol, of different leaders that we have in the church. And listen, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular here. I'm not trying to bring a word of condemnation. This is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of encouragement, a word of hope for us, a word of, I hope, igniting a spark in you to say, you know what, I am feeling a little bit cold in my spirituality. That maybe God is saying, rekindle the gift that is within you. And if we at Harmony Church and the leaders at Harmony Church, and we don't do a good job of empowering you in your gifting, then we're failing as leaders. And I'm excited about the opportunity to work with Pastor Bruce in kind of his final months, and even any new leadership, whether it be myself or someone else, to encourage Harmony Church to be a church that is on fire, where everyone is serving, where everyone is feeling that they are a part of the body. That they don't just come and sit and listen and leave. That they don't feel, in a sense, disconnected from the community. That they feel like, I'm a part of this. God has gifted me. How can I be used to build up the body? And I believe that all that I am that within me, it's burning in my heart to see people alive in Christ and on fire for His church, for His saints. And I need you. Pastor Bruce, Carol, Darlene, Barry, those that are in leadership at Harmony, we need you. We need one another. We need to link arms with each other and move forward. Because God has asked us that to expand the kingdom of God. And Daniel on his own solo, you know, I might be able to do a little bit of good. Might be able to see some impact. But Daniel linking arms with Roger and Martha and Winnie and Carol and Jennifer and Tom and Dodd, when we link arms together and we say, let's go forward. Let's move together. That my weaknesses are strengthened because I'm holding arms with someone who has a gifting that maybe I don't operate in so well or so often. We need one another. I hope you can see it. I hope that you catch that heart. You know, and I know that there's going to be unanswered questions about this subject. I have not touched the surface of this whole subject of spiritual gifts. You know, maybe someday down the road we'll dive into it a little bit more fully. But the reality for me is, I know that you'll have unanswered questions, and I say good to that. Because I want you to be hungry to know more. Hungry to know more about what is it even for yourself? What giftings do I have? Maybe you've got that question. I don't know if I know, understand the giftings that God has given me. Hey, like, we at Harmony, we've got some tools that we can help you to get to know and maybe understand your giftings a little bit better. But maybe for those that you do know your gifting and you're wondering, I don't know how I can use this. How can I use this to build up the kingdom? I'm telling you, that is a conversation that I want to have. Please bother me. Bother Pastor Bruce and say, I've got this gifting. I feel, how can I use this for the kingdom? How can I use this to build up the church? I hope that that's our attitude and our mentality. I hope that you can see that in the scripture, that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the church, to pour into one another so that we could experience the fullness of Christ. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the scriptures, your word that has the ability to divide joint and marrow. And Holy Spirit, I pray that your word would just pierce our hearts this morning with conviction and encouragement, that you would stir us to see the beauty of a body that is looking first to serve. And I pray that Harmony Church wouldn't be a church that is entertainment driven, but rather a church that is servant driven. And I pray that we would see the gifts, that we would see a manifestation of the power of God through our lives, that we would see miraculous things, healing, signs and wonders, that we would hear prophetic words and we'd hear tongues with interpretation, that we would see people thriving in gifts of administration and helps and service, that we would see the gifts flourishing for the good of one another. And that every single person at Harmony Church, every single member, would feel like they are a part of something, that they are a part of the body, and that they would feel needed. That every Sunday that they miss, every time that they miss gathering together in community, that people would feel it. They'd say, oh man, we miss this person because they're so needed, a part of this community. Help us, Lord. Rekindle the fire. Rekindle the gifts that you put inside of us that maybe that have grown cold. Ignite a flame in our hearts as a church to be serving one another. Help us to abide in your presence as a community, knowing that we can do nothing apart from you. We just commit this service, Lord, to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. I'll just give a benediction and you can be free to go. I've kind of been reading Revelation and it's kind of been in Revelation this week, and I just love the words at the beginning of Revelation. And I'll just close with these. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May you go in his peace this morning.